Welcome to All 32 Picks and IPAs. We wrapped up the entire regular season in the NFL. We now move on to the playoffs. And let's do some introductions. Leader in the picks among the three of us from this last week, Adam Emmert.
Had another dominant week last week, only three misses. And that's right, Keith Kettover, again. It happened again. Even after you had a great week, I still got you.
I think I'm going to send Keith a prize because for him to tie you two weeks in a row,
that's tough.
I think that's deserving. And followed by a tie between the two of us. So I'm going to go ahead and introduce Jared Tim first, since his Broncos managed to pull out a win and a first round bye, rallying behind their leader and future Hall of Fame quarterback, Peyton Manning.
Yeah, from what I hear, Peyton Manning apparently saved the day.
Saved the day, you know? Came in and
5-9 passing with his noodle arm and handed the ball off. He did a wonderful job saving our season to get the number one seed.
Oh, and according to Manning, the team played much better when he was in there.
That's what he said, and they did.
I want to talk a lot about what he had to say after the game and stuff like that. He was interesting.
It was interesting what he said about Brock. Actually.
Yeah. We'll get into that. We have lots of topics to cover. I'm your co-host, Brandon Schultz. And yes, we have four wild card round matchup games that we'll get into. A significantly fewer number of games to talk about, but that just means we can dig into those games just a little bit more. And then plus, plenty of topics to cover, lots of coaching changes, just a lot of interesting kind of off. Now that the off season is beginning for, you know, over half the league, a lot of interesting news coming from some other teams. So let's get into it, Adam.
All right, man. Well, to start out, we have on Wild Card Weekend. We're going to start out with the first game on Saturday. So don't forget, there's games on Saturday, people.
That's right.
Kansas City Chiefs take on your Houston Texans in Houston. Somehow Houston is hosting a playoff game this year, and the Seahawks are not. Brandon, who you got?
Well, the thing about this game is, yes, the Houston Texans are hosting a playoff game. They did win their division. They won their division with a winning record, which is, it's kind of cool. All the division winners have winning records this season. I know maybe some of us were rooting for one of them to finish, you know, with like a 6-10 record just for fun. But no.
So that you guys could kind of be
off the hook
for yours.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm cool with having that record.
He has it embroidered on the back of a hat.
I take pride in that season, Jared. But let's get back to Kansas City.
You got to be proud of the season.
Exactly. We won a game.
Led to the Beast Quick.
Yeah. Beat the defending champs even. So getting to this game, though, with my one of my other favorite teams, the Houston Texans. Now, some people may not remember, because it happened so early in the season, Kansas City already lost to Houston once this year, and that was in the first game of the season. So what's changed since then, guys, right? The Kansas City Chiefs, they've lost Jamaal Charles. And other than that, they've beat two teams with a winning record down the stretch. Mm-hmm. And that's the Steelers without Big Ben and the Broncos in that game where Manning just fell off a cliff and started throwing interceptions all around the yard. That's when they finally made the switch to Brock Osweiler. So to me, the Chiefs are probably the third best team to win 10 straight games this year, Adam.
I like it.
And the thing is, I'm not that sold on Kansas City's offensive line in this game. And with Watt and Merciless, I expect them to have a big day for the Texans. I'm taking J.J. Watt and the Texans by a field goal in this game.
You know, Brandon, I'm with you. I'm taking J.J. Watt, too. He's the NFL sack leader with 17.5 sacks. And let's take a look at the Chiefs real quick. So here are their last seven wins. San Diego, Buffalo, Oakland, San Diego, Baltimore, Cleveland, Oakland. That's it.
That's it?
That's it.
No, and some of those games were awfully close.
Yeah, that's the thing. And so I'm not really impressed by what they did throughout the whole season. They ended up 30th in passing offense. And Houston's number three in passing defense, so I also like that matchup. And surprisingly, Houston finished up number 18 in passing offense, which is actually a lot better than I expected. And I believe Brian Hoyer's going to be playing. You know, in this week one rematch, I'm going Houston. I don't believe in Kansas City. I don't think they have the talent to do it. And I think Houston's defense is better because Kansas City's offense is still kind of a crappy offense. They didn't beat anybody worth acknowledging, really. And their stats don't prove that they've actually been efficient on offense. So I'm going Houston at home.
Wow. I call me in the minority then, because I'm going with the Chiefs here. Yeah, sure. I mean, you talk about the Chiefs having beaten relative cupcakes going down the stretch. Fine. But you can only play who's on your schedule, and they beat all of them. Any team that goes on a 10-win winning streak is pretty good. I mean, I remember when Carolina was, maybe 8-9 weeks into their big winning streak, and you look down, and who had they beaten? It was a bunch of cupcakes, but yet they were still good. Thing is Jared, you mentioned the Chiefs don't have maybe a lot of talent. I think that secondary is really solid, and they have good pass rushers. I like the Chiefs' defense quite a bit. Jeremy Maclin has played really well this year. Alex Smith is throwing the ball well going down the stretch, and he's not going to make a big mistake at all. I mean,
he's also not going to make a big play.
Well, if you look at his last few playoff games, the last couple playoff games, he's thrown for oodles of yards, scored a bunch of points. His team's lost, yeah, but it definitely wasn't on him. Alex Smith gets it done in the playoffs. As far I think he's 2-3 in the playoffs overall, and that's better than a lot of quarterbacks. I look at the Texans. And you talk about lack of talent. You got J.J. Watt, cool.
DeAndre Hopkins,
and then what?
Houston's number 3 in passing defense. That's
sure,
pretty good.
Sure, playing 8 games against AFC South opponents. I don't. If you talk about cupcakes,
well,
schedule,
you were just talking about cupcakes and you can't pick your schedule. That's pretty good.
Well, that's what I was saying. Like, I mean, if you're going to look at it one way or the other, Chiefs also 9th in scoring offense. Like, I mean, it's not like these guys haven't scored the ball, and 6th in the league running the ball. And look, even with Jamal Charles going down, whether it's Charcandrick West or whoever the else they plug back there, they seem to get it done. That offensive line really gelled towards the end of the year. They're actually playing a lot better. I like the Chiefs on the road here.
I think it's going to be a close game. I think this is going to be a really strong defensive matchup. But, you know, Adam, I guess I wouldn't count you in the minority on this game, because only 17% of NFL.com users are going with Houston.
Wow.
83% with the Chiefs. It's the most lopsided of all the games this week. And Adam,
wow,
if I'm wrong about this game, I'm going to go back to my preseason prediction that the Chiefs will make the AFC Championship game.
You know, I don't feel great about this pick, because I think these are the two potentially worst teams in the playoffs right now. Mm. I mean, they very well could be.
Yeah.
But being an AFC West fan, I've seen enough of Kansas City to know this kind of team and who they are. And I've seen the way they've won the games, these last 7-8 games that they've won, 10 games, whatever it is. I don't think they're a strong playoff team, and I think a good defense, mainly J.J. Watt, can disrupt an entire offense, and he can do it to Kansas City.
I'll say this about my Chiefs pick. I'm not 83% confident in my Chiefs pick. I mean, that's for sure, but yeah, this is just a kind of a gut feel to me a little bit. I just think the Chiefs have just been playing a little solid ball just all the way around. I just don't trust Brian Hoyer in a big spot.
And one thing we forgot to do at the top of the show is introduce the beer that we're drinking. Jared, you picked the beer this week.
I did.
Well,
okay.
You kind of did. I mean, you asked me for input, and I gave
did.
It to you. I gave you.
Well,
I
had to see what you had at the house, so you didn't have to leave. You
right,
know?
Right.
Whoa, wait a second. You guys communicated to each other directly, and I didn't even have to relay it?
I know. It's really weird.
Wow.
Yeah. Our relationship cool. has gone to the next level.
Wow. This is cool.
But we are drinking Going to the Sun IPA. It is an India Pale Ale out of Whitefish, Montana, from the Great Northern Brewing Company. Quite tasty.
It is quite tasty.
Yeah, we'll get into that a little bit more, but since we didn't introduce it at the top of the show, I wanted to make sure, since this is, you know, the second half of our title is IPAs, figured we better introduce that sooner than later.
You're going to have to read the label, because those are some small words down there.
I can pull it up online.
Quicker, sooner than later, okay.
Keep passing in a hurry.
Yeah. All right, Brandon, should we move on to the next matchup?
Let's do it.
Okay. This is an interesting matchup because we still don't know if Andy Dalton will be playing, but Pittsburgh Steelers go on the road after sneaking into the playoffs with the Jets implosion against the Bills, Jared. Take on the Cincinnati Bengals, who are historically one and done under Marvin Lewis. It's sounding to me that it's going to be A.J. McCarron, although he's performed fairly well as a backup quarterback. Got to give him some credit.
He's done as well as you can for a backup quarterback. I mean, who would you want as a backup quarterback that's better than him at this point on your team? Maybe Peyton Manning.
he can come in and win you a game, you know that much.
I was really happy watching that Bills-Jets game because, first of all, I wanted the Bills to go out on a win because I've always kind of liked the Bills a little bit. I've never hated them. And I have always hated the Jets for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the playoffs are way better if Big Ben is in them. Without a doubt, I think the Steelers being in the playoffs with the way that Ben has been playing, it's just way better. But in the long run, I think Pittsburgh is still the older brother in this division. And without Andy Dalton, who he kind of did emerge as the leader on that team, he'd been playing a lot better this year. Even if he were to play, I don't think he'd be really up to speed because he has missed a few weeks, and especially trying to keep up with this Pittsburgh offense. Even if Dalton was playing, I'm going with Pittsburgh and Big Ben.
Yeah, guys, I can't wait to watch this game. These two teams, they hate each other. And I'm not talking sports hate, Adam. This is like the passionate hatred of a thousand burning suns.
Exactly.
and here's what I like about the Bengals. I like the Bengals defense. You know, they're number two defense in terms of scoring defense. And I agree, Jared. I like what I've seen out of McCarron thus far. But I don't know how I'm supposed to trust AJ more than Big Ben, especially when Big Ben has that target and Antonio Brown. Yeah, AJ has Green, but you know, that Big Ben to Antonio Brown connection, they've just been so solid this year. I like Ben's accuracy downfield. I think they have enough to do what it takes against the Bengals secondary. And to me, I think it's going to come down to which coach can keep his team more focused and not allow emotions to take over when things start to get physical, because this game's going to get physical. Mm-hmm. And for that, I think Mike Tomlin has a big edge in the coaching department. Marvin Lewis hasn't proven anything in the playoffs to me to this point either. So I'm going Steelers, and user consensus a little bit on the side of the Steelers in this game, 56%, 44% Ooh. With the Bengals.
That's pretty close.
Yeah.
Interesting. That's close. Oh, that was a little closer than I imagined. Maybe one of the reasons why it's close is you see a lot of people understanding that Big Ben is throwing two picks in his last three games.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, sure, he's been accurate. And of course, I listened to a little bit of the Steelers game last week on the radio as I was driving home. And he threw a couple right on the money, but then a couple boneheaded ones against Cleveland.
Yeah.
You know, so I know the Bengals are better than Cleveland, and you mentioned that they're number two in scoring.
Scoring defense, yeah.
Yeah, in the Bengals.
Yeah, only 17.5 points about per game.
I don't think that they're going to hold Pittsburgh to 17.5 points, but I think this is going to be in the low 20s probably. Because the Pittsburgh defense isn't a world beater by any stretch of imagination, but Cincinnati can run the ball well enough to actually get the ball down the field and maybe score a few points. And AJ McCarron can do his things against a young Steelers defense. But I'm still picking with the Steelers here. I mean, there's one guy with two rings, and there's a dude who's basically just popped out of the SEC and
playing his fourth start. Yep.
It looks like he popped out of a womb about 6 months ago. Do you see the baby face?
He's got a baby face.
So speaking of the running game, Adam, I heard both of you guys mention this. Do we know what's going on with Pittsburgh's running back situation now? With
D'Angelo Williams was still in a boot today.
Yeah,
they called him day to day.
But here's the thing.
But he's old.
How many times do they actually run the ball? I don't know how big of an injury that is for them.
Well, that's kind of what I wanted to ask, because with Big Ben just heaving it all over the field, does it really matter who you're going to put back there? I mean, it does have it's nice to have a guy who understands the offense, especially with pass protection, because that's one thing Big Ben is definitely going to need in this game. But I don't know who they got coming up behind D'Angelo Williams.
Yeah, who is that? Michael?
Oh, I can't
Let's awkwardly
the kid's
wait
name.
While you both try to pull it up.
I can't remember the kid's name, but it's
somebody
you've never heard of.
I'm going to go with this kid named Michael Vick. I hear he runs the ball well.
He doesn't want to get hit.
He's they just put him back there just to see.
Hey, he had
some option pass.
Yeah, yeah. Their fullback's Will Johnson. I'm not seeing. I got Pro Football Reference pulled up for their season stats this year, and I'm not seeing anyone. Fitzgerald Toussaint, is he even on the team? I don't have a number next to his name, so maybe he's not with the team anymore.
Either way, I think it's going to be a close game. Actually, like you said, I think it'll be in the 20s, low 20s, or something.
Yeah,
but Antonio Brown he's eaten up everybody. There's nobody in the NFL can actually guard him.
Yeah, the only team to keep him in check was the Seahawks. The problem was is that then who was it? It wasn't Bryant. It was the other kid, Will Wheaton.
Well, yeah, double him, try and triple him, and then somebody else is wide open.
Yeah,
which means on single coverage, there's nobody that can compete with him.
Yeah, huh? Well, and I can't Marcus get any Wheaton. Of the Pro Football Focus stuff to pull up either. Here, it's just giving me nothing. So,
well,
oh well.
Running back number four.
I think the name you were looking for, Adam, was Marcus Wheaton.
Oh, okay. Did I say Will Wheaton, the Star Trek actor?
Yeah.
I don't think he's running the ball for the Steelers.
Guy, right?
Yeah. No, and he's put on some few LBs. I'd seen him on a talk show not long ago.
I hear he still has really good hands, though.
Yes. Yes. All right, guys. Let's move on to our beloved Seahawks, Brandon, on the road to take on the Minnesota Vikings in Ice Bowl Dose. We talked a little bit about this in our regular pod, but go ahead.
Well, I'm excited to watch this game, especially with kind of that cold weather factor in this game, because you're going to have two running backs who are able to really are physical type running backs, especially for guys that are, in a guy like Adrian Peterson, who is up over 30. And the big thing for the Seahawks, beast mode, Marshawn Lynch coming back to the team. He's been practicing with the team today. It looks like he's at full strength. And I'm excited to see him back on the field, and because he wasn't on the field the last time these two teams faced, guys, it was, he was injured, and so now, that's Marshawn Lynch brings an intimidation factor to a team, to an offense. Mm-hmm. And when you add that up to the fact that this team already scored 38 points against you in the previous matchup, and now they have Marshawn Lynch, and it's going to be cold, and you don't want to tackle guys that are coming at you that big, that heavy. Those hits are going to feel a lot harder, I have a feeling, with Marshawn Lynch in there, even coming off an injury. I like the Seahawks in this game. I like the fact that the Vikings defense is coming back to full strength in this game. One thing that the Seahawks didn't see was the defensive lineman Linval Joseph for the Vikings. And so I could see the Hawks offense having a little bit more trouble, but I just don't think that the Vikings offense, unless they manage to create some turnovers on defense, will be able to drive the length of the field that many times, the amount of times it'll take to put enough points on the board to beat the Seahawks.
So what do we know what the temperature is supposed to be yet? Did they come out with that?
Zero.
It sounds like, with the wind chill around -10.
Okay. So this will be a rushing kind of day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And from all accounts, it sounds like Marshawn's going to be able to handle a full workload, which, I mean, yep. Marshawn don't play.
Right.
He's like,
yeah,
Ray
it's
Lewis,
not a percentage.
No, he's not going to be 75%. No, he plays or he doesn't.
You know?
So,
right.
A couple of things about Seattle's. Their defense has really come to play recently. They're number two in pass defense, number one in rushing defense, ahead of the Broncos by 33 yards at the end of the season, which is pretty
impressive. Gotcha.
You guys just in one category. But, I mean, that's still impressive to rebound, actually, after you guys had a really slow start. And you lose Jimmy Graham, and the offense finally came to play. The one thing about Minnesota is they can run the ball, but they're 31st in passing offense. And so if they can't get any production out of their tight ends, which sometimes they'll go stretches of games without even going to their tight ends, and that has been shown to be your defense's Achilles heel. But I don't know if the Vikings can actually do that. They can if they get the rushing game going. But once again, you guys had kind of stymied that the last time you played them, and they couldn't get any sort of play action going, and that's why you just beat the crap out of them. So I'm really interested to see how Minnesota rebounds after that shellacking that you guys handled them first. My only concern with the Seahawks going into the playoffs would be your two notable wins were basically Pittsburgh and Arizona. Other than that, you had a couple losses down the stretch, one to Arizona and then one to St. Louis. So we'll see how you guys can handle playing better teams coming along. But as far as this matchup goes, I don't think Minnesota, even in the cold weather, is going to pose much of a problem at this point. I don't think it's going to be a high-scoring affair because it's going to be so cold. But if Minnesota wants any sort of chance in this game, they're going to have to run the ball and run it early. But I don't know if that's going to happen.
Yeah, AP hasn't fared well against the Seahawks defense. And I think it was, 2 years ago he had one nice run in Seattle. He actually broke one. It was right at the beginning of the game. I recall that.
I mean, and so what you see what AP does against these good defenses, like us, he had one run.
Yeah.
For like 50 yards, and that was it. And against you guys, he didn't do anything, you know?
Yeah, and we held him to 17 yards last game.
Yeah.
And it's going to be – their offensive line struggles with our defensive line. It's a bad matchup for them. And, you know, one thing you mentioned, Jared, was the idea he hadn't played a lot of guys, you know, good teams down the stretch. But unlike the Chiefs where they were eking ones out over some of these bad teams, we were blowing their doors off. So they're hitting on all cylinders, and really – the Arizona win, I mean, that was the team everybody was saying was the best in the NFL coming into that week, and they kind of took them apart. But on the road, it's going to be a little more difficult of a task, obviously in the cold. But if it's going to be a rush fest, then, I mean, at least we're the third leading rushing offense in the league, so it's not like we can't run the ball.
Yeah, Minnesota's number four.
Yeah, exactly.
That'll be a good battle.
The thing is about Minnesota, though, is they have one guy, right? One guy that you know is most likely to get the ball. The Seahawks have Marshawn Lynch. Christian Michael rushed for 100 yards against a team last week that had only allowed one other 100-yard rusher this year. And so Christian Michael's coming on. Then you have Russell Wilson, a great running quarterback.
Yeah, all that. So Hawks, obviously, is what I'm taking.
74% with the road team, the Seahawks, only 26% with the Vikings.
That sounds about right. I mean, you got to give a 25% credit to the home team in the playoffs this season.
Yeah, I'm not mad at that at all. I mean,
that's a good gesture.
Yeah, it seems about right. All right, guys. I'm surprised I saved this matchup for last, considering it's going to be on the East Coast. But Green Bay Packers on the road to take on the Redskins, Jared. Captain Kirk against Aaron Rodgers, who's had his he's infected with the struggles.
Aaron Rodgers has missed a lot of open receivers recently. In the last 4 or 5 weeks, he's missed a lot. And, I mean, you saw it last week in the Sunday night game? Collinsworth was going over all the receivers that he had missed just wide open when he hadn't been flushed out of the pocket just yet. And so I don't know what is wrong with Aaron Rodgers. I think he's just used to his receivers not getting that separation from the secondary, and maybe he just doesn't even trust them to get open. The other matchup you got, the other part of this is Washington, 0-3 versus teams that are 500 or better this year. They are the only team in the playoffs that has not beat a team that is better than 500.
Oh, wow.
However, you got Captain Kirk, man. He's number one in completion percentage this year, really close to 70%, which is pretty impressive. And he's limited his interceptions to 11 this year. That was his main concern, was he was a turnover machine. He's number five in quarterback rating. I'm going Washington at home because I think their defense might be a little bit more consistent, even though the Packers have shown that, I mean, their statistics are a little better. They're number six in pass defense, but Green Bay has not impressed me at all. And against Minnesota, they didn't do a damn thing on offense. So I'm going Washington because they can actually move the ball, and I don't think Green Bay's offense can keep up.
The thing about this game, that crowd in Washington is going to be fired up for this game. You know, guys, they're handing out towels with Kirk Cousins' new catchphrase. You like that? That's going to be on their towels.
If I was a Washington fan, I'd own one of those right now.
Can I just say, I kind of find you like that amusing. Like, I enjoy it. I kind of do.
I do, too.
I do.
I like Kirk Cousins, actually, at this point.
He's starting to grow on me.
He improved all year long.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but let's see. You know what you don't do in this game, though? So they're breaking out the towels, right? Yeah. To me, I think the worst thing you can do against a Packers team is break out catchy phrases, because we're very familiar with one, Adam, and that's we want the ball and we're going to score. And that didn't work out too well for the Seahawks. So
No, but it'll go down in history forever.
But it was fun.
It was fun.
For a minute. Now it's fun for the rest of us who aren't Seahawks.
Oh,
fans.
It's still fun now. That's a fun. Honestly, that's not even a bad memory for anymore.
No, it's a good memory for me now.
It is, because it's part of who Matty Hass was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like talking trash to his fellow teammates. I look back on it fondly.
I do too. I mean, it stunk at the time because it was an interception that resulted in a loss in overtime. But it is something that's endeared me to Matt Hasselbeck over the years, and because it was
said,
such
we
a
want
big
the
part
ball,
of who
they're going to score.
Well, maybe if you want to be really bad at trash talk
or accurate.
So I know a lot of teams are going to be down on the Packers, and it's hard to make a case for a team that's 4-6 since their bye week, but they're 3-1, guys, in their last four road games. And I'm going Packers because of Aaron Rodgers and his playoff experience.
Man, I look at this matchup, and the Packers are hot garbage right now. That offensive line is really, really, really bad, and the receivers can get zero separation. If they get any kind of good man-to-man coverage, it's just done. I mean, James Jones runs like he's got a dead man on his back. Randall Cobb does get open from time to time, but Rodgers then misses him.
Cobb drops it.
Yeah, well, not usually.
If he had Julian Edelman, they'd be a lot better.
That's true.
It'd be marginally better. But, yeah.
But if they had Wes Welker in his prime, then they'd be blowing teams out of the water.
And look, and the Green Bay defense hasn't exactly been lighting the world on fire the last few games either. I mean, coming into this last week, Clay Matthews has gone the previous two games without a tackle, playing middle linebacker, without a tackle.
Wow.
He had just disappeared. This Dom Capers' defense has disappeared going down the stretch. I don't trust their defense at all. I like the rhythm that the Redskins are playing with a lot better than the Packers right now. But the one weird thing about Washington, again, I've said this all year, they're kind of mediocre at everything, right? Mm-hmm. Well, there's one thing that they're great at, and it's what their defense lives off of, and it's hard to sustain. It's a weird thing. They are number one in the league in highest rate of fumbles that they've recovered at 8.9%. And they live off of that. And they're the highest by a lot. So that, I don't know that that's something you can rely on week in and week out. And that's one thing that makes me a little nervous. But they are at home. They got you like that towels. They got the you like that quarterback. I'm taking the Redskins, and I feel 55% good about it.
Yeah, well, people feel 55% good about the Packers, 45% good about the Redskins.
So when I first started looking at this matchup, I'm hearing about the towels. I'm seeing Washington winning these games. I'm all on board with Captain Kirk. I'm like, yeah, this, yeah, that. And then all of a sudden today, I'm looking at the fumble situation that you just talked about.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the stat that they're the only team that hasn't beat an over 500 team. And I'm like, oh, because I was so quick to pick Washington in this game. I was like, yeah, this is going to be a good upset pick for me, this and the Houston one. And then I'm looking at this stuff. I was like, man, they just might not be as good as I want them to be. I really want Washington to be good in the NFC, but I don't know if they're going to be. But how about that tight end, Jordan Reed?
He's a monster,
man. He's incredible. A monster. He's great at getting separation from nickel corners, safeties, you name it. He can get open. This could be a problem for Green Bay.
Right before we made the Jimmy Graham trade, that was the guy I wanted in free agency.
He's good.
Yeah. 952 yards, 11 touchdowns on the season.
Yeah.
And he didn't start to heat up until what? Week 7 or 8?
And combine that with DeSean Jackson on the outside and
Pierre Garçon.
Yeah, and Pierre Garçon. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, despite
Alfred Morris in the backfield, I mean, that's a solid offense. Mm-hmm. And
even though Alfred Morris hasn't really done much this year, I don't know if it's because he's aged as a running back or they just haven't given him the touches.
He's been in a rotation, so yeah. But when he's played okay. I mean, he's not Todd Gurley. I mean, who's the best running back that's ever been born?
Well, obviously,
but yeah, he's a fine back. I mean, you're not
only one rushing touchdown on the year though for Morris.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I mean, I
really want to believe in Washington. I have no idea. It's completely irrational. I don't know why, but I really want Washington to upset some teams for no apparent reason.
Kirk Cousins has as many rushing touchdowns or more rushing touchdowns than his backfield.
Yeah, you like that?
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know. They all look like points to me.
I like it.
They all look like points to me. All right, guys. What do we say? Did you want to talk winners from last week, Brandon?
Let's talk about the beer, and then we'll get into winners.
All right.
And I have the description for you here, Jared, so you don't have to read it off the bottle.
Yes, because it's pretty small.
Why are you letting him off the hook?
I'm letting him off the hook this week.
He's being generous. That's what you get when you're the one seed.
Hey, he hooked me up with the fact that I didn't have to leave my house for beer, so
this is true.
I can do this for him.
You know.
Oh, this is how this decision
and
was
we didn't
made.
Have to go through you, so you should be happy about that.
Oh, no, I'm happy about that. I like that.
You like that?
I like that.
Going to the Sun IPA is brewed in the spirit of Glacier National Park's iconic and picturesque.
Picture perfect.
Wow, yeah, I piss after a few of these. So.
Yeah.
Let me try that again.
Please do.
Going to the Sun IPA is brewed in the spirit of Glacier National Park's iconic and picturesque highway. For the beer lover that seeks distinct flavor, Going to the Sun is a true IPA that is brewed to be more drinkable and refreshing than many very hoppy Northwestern IPAs. There it is. And I'd agree with that, too. Right. I think it does have a hoppy finish to start. But as you drink it more and more, it gets a little bit more smooth.
As most beers do.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, this beer is far smoother on the back end when it comes to the hoppiness. No doubt about it. It does have a very smooth finish. And I like that. It's one of those things where, as I've gotten a little older, I used to really love the ultra hoppy beers.
Mm-hmm.
And I've kind of regressed back down where I'm like, it just gets a little too much and it tastes like envelope glue. And this, to this point, like I really enjoy this. And I like this brewery a lot, too, up in Whitefish. The owner, Minot, I actually have conversated with him personally on a number of occasions. A really cool dude. I think the world of the brewery and I think the world of this beer. And they have in the label, it's kind of like one of those old Forest Service promotional posters that you could get for like a national park or like something like that. It kind of has that feel to it.
It's based on Going to the Sun Road in Glacier National Park. And that's, that's, if anybody's never been on that road, that is an amazing view just driving up that road to the, over the top of the pass there. And
See Birdwoman Falls and Mount Clements and hit the boardwalk and all that.
We got a few of those in Montana. There's also the Beartooth Scenic Byway, which is really
it's
cool,
worth doing.
Going to the Sun Road really is just magnificent. It's just huge, those deep valleys that were carved by glaciers. But back to the beer, 5.5% alcohol, which is a lot lower than most IPAs.
True fact.
It's a little milder to the taste. So I think if you're going to look to try to get into an IPA, because a lot of people love them. I do like IPAs. I don't prefer them, but I do drink them. I like them. This would be a gateway, a going to an IPA beer.
I could see that.
That was terrible. It was okay. I'll
give you an A for effort.
I tried.
All right, guys. Shall we move on to topics, and then we'll hit winners and maybe a few more topics?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk coaches first.
Okay.
All right, so Brandon, you led it off with Lovie Smith being fired. I just see this quote right here from Levante David, their linebacker, on the firing of Lovie Smith. Quote, "This is stupid."
And that's how we all feel about it, because this was totally unexpected. You know, we fired up the podcast. We had all kind of done a little bit of research going into this game into this weekend, and this was not something that I expected to talk about. But as soon as we turn the mics on, this rolls across the news feed. Lovie Smith fired, and I was shocked because he's turned this Buccaneers team around, right? That was he had them going on a pace that looked like they were going to go toward the playoffs, and they did fall off toward the end. So it kind of makes me wonder if there was something going on there that we just don't know about, but really shocking to me.
You know, I'm sure we'll hear more about what exactly happened and why he was fired, but when you figure out where he was a year ago with this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team and now where he was this year with a first-year quarterback, granted he was the best one in the draft, you know, to have this type of a run game and this type of a defense to really turn it around like he did and then just to up and get fired like this, I honestly don't understand it. And so I'm hoping that something comes out maybe in the next couple weeks to try and define this firing, but I just don't get it.
He took an absolute mess that Greg Schiano had left. And sure, the first season was an abject disaster. And a lot of people had a lot of high hopes for that team. I didn't see it going in, and they weren't much different than I thought they'd be last year. I mean, when you have Josh McCown as your starting quarterback, things are going to go sideways real quick. And he did the best he could there. They get him some talent, especially at the QB position, getting the second best quarterback in the draft. And they went from 2 wins to 6 wins. And I think that's a nice progression with a rookie quarterback who's finding his way, who has talent. I remember, Jared, earlier when Wisenhunt was fired, you talked about some stat with rookie quarterbacks who'd had their head coach fired and how it went kind of downhill after that.
Blaine Gabbert was one of those guys.
Yeah, now we're talking that with Winston. And I can't understand taking the stability away that seemed to be working from your franchise quarterback. It doesn't make a lot of sense. Look at the way Sam Bradford's career unfolded, having a new offensive coordinator year in and year out, his entire career. It hasn't helped.
Well, and what's a young quarterback's best friend? It's a running game. This Tampa Bay Buccaneers had put in place a running back who was number two next to AP for the rushing
title.
Yeah,
Doug Martin. Yeah.
I mean, so it seemed like he had all the tools to progress as a good young quarterback, and then they just let him go. None of it makes sense.
Gerald McCoy on defense and Levante David on defense, and not to mention the receivers with Mike Evans. And
I've always liked Lovie Smith as a coach. He's not going to have any problem getting another job.
So let's talk about where his next job might be, because Tom Coughlin was let go. My gut says Lovie Smith is the next coach of the New York Football Giants. That seems like a really good fit to me.
Mm. I could see that. I wonder if I don't know if he's going to go to probably an ownership group that's stable. And to me, that's the Giants is the most stable out of all these jobs, because you know, that's the one thing that shocked me the most about this. He went from two wins to six wins. Has Gus Bradley even gotten the Jags to six wins? And he's been with the Jaguars much longer. It just feels like Lovie Smith turned that Bucs team around. Now, I think he had a lot more talent when he came there. I thought their defense had a lot more talent, and they picked up a lot of offensive talent. But yeah, the Giants, that feels like a good fit if he's going to continue coaching. I could see him being a guy, too, that goes into broadcasting, though.
Well, see, so immediately when you had said this, I hadn't thought about where he would go, but what about Miami with the defensive pieces that they actually put in place? Mm-hmm. An athletic quarterback?
And he's a defensive coach?
He's a defensive guy.
And he's a name in the sense that I think that owner really likes the big splash. And so I look for him to try to grab a name. And he's, what, a second-tier name maybe?
Lovie Smith?
Yeah.
Sure. I'd put him up there because he's done a lot with teams that didn't exactly have elite talent on them. You know, I think he could have taken this team a long ways, but he was with the Bears for a long time with an aging defense.
Rex Grossman.
Grossman, Orton, Cutler. You know, he's never really had a lot. So I don't know, but because, I mean, we've never seen Lovie Smith with an elite quarterback or a really, really superb team. You know, so I don't know where he is there, but he won't have any problem getting a job.
Yeah, most of the coaches that I see the Dolphins interested in, it's all guys that have had coaching experience. It's Mike Smith, you know, the former Falcons coach. It's Mike Shula. No. You know, there's Mike Shanahan. There's, let's see, who else do we got? Sean Payton. It sounds like he's going back to New Orleans, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And let's see, Josh McDaniels. There's another former coach. Doug Marone, former coach of the Bills. So a lot of these former coaches that maybe didn't have success that the Dolphins are willing to try out again. Hugh Jackson, Todd Haley, and another couple coaches.
Hmm. Well, and Adam Gase happens to be the hottest name in all of coaching at this point right now.
Sure.
Well, and so you'd mentioned the Giants. Do we want to
talk about Coughlin a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of thought it was time for a change, as long as, you know, so did the whole Giants organization. But it's kind of sad because, man, he's a hell of a coach
and a hell of a man.
Yeah, he'll be a Hall of Famer, I believe, without a doubt. I mean, yeah. Coughlin really turned that organization around when he got there. I mean, they were, I don't know. I think he's a great coach.
Any coach that brings you two championships?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're happy with that guy.
I'll take it.
And they showed the players' reactions, and man, were they upset about this. Man, it's like they almost lost their dad or something.
And guys that did a 180, too, because there were, like, Mike Strahan, he hated that coach, right. and he said the one year he turned it around. He decided that he had to make a change, and after he did that, after he started getting involved with players and actually getting to know them on a personal level, the players they started loving him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one of the things that they talked about, is he was one of these guys who had tried to bring in this kind of family culture. Like, you know, you guys can relate to the Pete Carroll thing. Coughlin was doing this a long time ago. And so he's changed a lot of things about the way you go about coaching. He won a couple of Super Bowls. Hall of Fame coach.
I agree.
So where do you think, because it sounds like he doesn't want to be done. He was clearly upset about the fact that he was, quote unquote, stepping down, when in fact that was a firing. They didn't want him to stay. So
yeah.
Where do you think Coughlin goes? Eagles? Stay in the division? Give the Giants what for twice a year?
No, you need a team. You need a team that is built to go now. He can't come in and be part of a reclamation project. He's not going to be around for 3, 5, 6 years. So
he is the oldest coach in the NFL, right?
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say, I don't know that he gets hired for another head coaching gig.
Yeah.
Unless
I think
a lot of teams would want him.
Over
I think the Eagles would big time. I think the Eagles were, you know, they were one of the most underachieving teams this year. Granted, I don't know if he'd want to deal with the personnel and all the overturn that's been happening. I don't know if he'd want to deal with that.
Yeah, I just don't. The kitchen's pretty bare there in Philly after Chip stripped it down. You know, I mean it doesn't make it that great of a destination.
The thing is, I don't know if we have a good sense of what the Eagles have on defense, because of that hurry up tempo that the offense runs. I don't know if we have a really good sense of the pieces on defense. They may have, if you play a traditional style of offense, they might have a solid defense. I just don't know.
That's a really good point. We didn't get to see Philly's defense actually get off the field. You know, they were playing tired damn near the whole season, and it just completely unraveled because they were worn out. So that's actually a really good point.
So have we heard definitively whether Jim Caldwell is in or out in Detroit? Because I don't think there has been a decision made, right?
Now that Coughlin's gone?
I was going to say, when Jim Caldwell goes, that would be the perfect spot for Coughlin. That would make all the sense in the world to me.
Maybe the
Even
Lions
if Megatron
are,
decides.
You think the Lions are kind of laying in wait to see what coaches might be available?
Big time.
I mean, since we're talking to the Lions, I know we're still on the coaching thing, but what do you think happens in Detroit if Calvin Johnson may retire?
Nothing big. I mean, it's going to be.
But Matt Stafford won't have anybody to throw to. Like, Calvin Johnson was his saving grace. That was the only reason he was even mediocre. I mean, Calvin Johnson was the only reason Matt Stafford was a serviceable quarterback in the NFL. He has shown that when Calvin Johnson's not playing, he's not good. He throws a lot of picks. He's not even a throw to.
I don't know. He lit it up there for a while with Golden Tate when Calvin Johnson was out.
There's some pretty bad defenses.
I wonder how serious Calvin Johnson is about retiring, though. It kind of almost feels like, considering his agent, Bus Cook, it kind of feels like a negotiating.
I think he wants to play somewhere else.
You know, this is what I think. Remember, what was it, two seasons ago? There was all that Marshawn's going to retire talk, right? And I think a lot of these guys, when they just get done with the end of the season, their body's beat up and they're tired and it was a losing season and it wasn't that much fun, they go, yeah, I might retire. This might not be worth it. I don't know that my heart's 100% in it. Give him 3 months. I think you 3-4 months down the line, Calvin Johnson's going to want to play.
I don't think he's going to retire, but I think Calvin Johnson's in a little bit of a different place because he's one of these big, huge, physical receivers, which these guys' bodies deteriorate a lot quicker than your normal-sized receiver who is maybe 6'1", 215 pounds. You know, you've seen it over the last 3 years that he just gets beat up more and more and more every season. So I think there is some sort of legitimate call to what he is saying about retirement.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he's going to. I just think he wants to play somewhere else.
Well, here's some coaching news. Eagles offer Adam Gase head coaching position and give him 5 days to respond.
Wow. If I'm Adam Gase, I don't know that that's the job that I take.
No, don't you want something a little more
suited? Because he interviewed in Tampa, or not in Tampa. Where else did he interview? Gosh dang it. Oh, in Tennessee.
Yeah.
McDaniels interviewed with him.
That's right, Daniels, Tennessee. Yeah.
Oh, okay. If I'm Adam Gase, I want Tennessee or I want Tampa. Those are the two best openings right now, because Tampa's got a lot of good talent already, plus a young quarterback, and then Tennessee has another great young quarterback in the number one pick, and the number one pick in the second round, and the number one pick in the third round. Like, you see what I'm saying? Like, they have the opportunity to really do a lot there in Tennessee quickly.
So with Adam Gase and then Josh McDaniels, you have two guys who are very quarterback friendly. That's how they got into the NFL. That's who they are. I think two teams that really kind of jump off the page to guys like this are the New York Giants, who have an established quarterback with Eli Manning, and Ryan Tannehill, who underachieved because he went through several different coordinators.
That's
I think
a
these
really
are two
good
really
point.
Good jobs.
Oh, that's the other place that Gase had interviewed was Miami.
Yeah, and so I think one of these quarterback-friendly guys is going to go to the Giants or Miami because they got guys who've been in the league for a while. But Tampa was a good option, too, with a young quarterback.
Yeah, if you're the Giants, maybe don't you go with a young guy, though, like to kind of change it up and do something.
Spark up the franchise a little bit.
Yeah,
maybe.
And kind of light a fire under Eli, although I don't know if that's even possible.
That's not possible. You'd have to light a literal fire under his ass.
Yeah, and even then he might just be like, ah, shucks. You know, Jim Tomsula also fired. Colin Kaepernick having knee surgery today, as well as thumb surgery.
So where does Kaepernick end up next year? Where do you guys think he'll play?
He might still be in San Francisco.
You think so?
I'm gonna go Cleveland.
Ooh.
You think Cleveland's gonna try and do that again?
What else do they have?
Because so. Where's Manziel going? Probably Dallas.
Unless RG3 goes to Dallas.
Yeah, that was one of my topics, guys.
Who does Jerry Jones like better, RG3 or Manziel?
He had the biggest Manziel Woody in the draft. Like, for
but
sure.
RG3's a Baylor guy.
And RG3 has shown, like, how many waves has RG3 made this season? Zero.
Zero.
How many waves? I mean, Johnny Manziel might show up to practice in a wig and a fake mustache, for all you know, drinking some Four Loko and chucking balls. like, you can't trust him. You can't trust him to the point to where LeBron James's company, who manages him, dropped his ass today. Yeah. They're like, nope.
I did see that.
Yeah, but
you be
Adam,
out.
Who would be more fun to hang out with on that Dallas Cowboys party bus? It would be Manziel.
Well, yeah, but that's not. But if Jerry learned any lessons from his backup quarterback mistakes, which he full on admitted to this last year, you can't have Manziel. Manziel may not even have a job next year. He may be out of the league.
He'll be in the NFL somewhere. Somebody he may be out of the league. But I think Kaepernick's going to go somewhere to be a backup, where there's some sort of athletic quarterback. I don't know, like a Miami, like a Tampa Bay, like a Minnesota, something like that.
He'd love Miami.
Somebody who's just willing to take a chance on a guy, be like, he can come in here and maybe get us a few wins, 2 wins in 4 weeks while our starter's out.
So the two worst jobs in football right now, the Niners and Cleveland, who's dumb enough to take one of those jobs?
Well, I know
because Trent Baalke's going to ruin your life in San Francisco, and Cleveland's Cleveland.
I know where I'd rather live. I think I'd rather live in San Francisco.
There's that.
Okay, so you almost need one of those situations that Gus Bradley got into. You need the organization to say, okay, we're going to give you the reins as a head coach, and we're going to give you 4 to 5 years to see if you can turn this thing around. Because let's be honest, San Francisco is at such a lack of talent right now, that's not going to be fixed next year. So if the head honchos in the home office up there are seeing, okay, we need to get 8 wins this next season, that's just not going to happen.
See, the Niners are totally in that mindset. They don't think they're in rebuild mode. They think they're just a piece or two away from resetting and rebooting and being right back in it.
Which is kind of my point over this last year. They had to hire Tom Sula because nobody else wanted the job. Are they going to find a quality coach who's actually going to want to step into that position unless they completely change their ways? But if they do say, quote unquote, that they're going to change their ways and give somebody 4 to 5 years, is anybody going to actually believe it?
I don't know. It's going to be a desperate coach that takes that job.
Sounds like a job for Hugh Jackson.
Former
Raiders coach.
His years in Oakland were a little underrated. I think he's a fine coach. I could see him in either Tampa or Tennessee.
Okay.
He's good with quarterbacks.
What about Todd Haley? One of those jobs. Cleveland?
Is he really leaving as the offensive coordinator for the Steelers? Because a lot of these jobs...
He's always wanted to be a head coach, though.
All these jobs are going to be filled by the time the Steelers are out of the playoffs and he gets to interview, you know? I mean, that's one bummer for him right there.
I'd rather coach... Who would you guys rather coach? I'd rather coach Cleveland than San Francisco right now because I think they have more talent. I would not want to coach in Santa Clara.
Team-wise, but you also have to think quality of life-wise, too.
Well, here's the other problem.
What do you got against Cleveland, Brandon?
I've never been there, so I really don't have
anything. Scott has against Cleveland. Look, here's the other thing about Cleveland.
Some people who actually really enjoy Cleveland.
I have too. Yeah. I haven't been there, so I don't have any knock on it.
On lake fishing, you can do that. There's things to do, and you know.
I've never been, so I can't really say one thing or the other. But one person that is going to know what Cleveland's like is Paul D. Podesta. He was a guy from baseball. He was
the New York Mets
Moneyball guy, analytics. The Browns hire him to come in and have some say over personnel. Wow.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to say
about
that.
It's either
going to
be the move that turns the Browns around, right? Or it's going to be the most Browns move ever, and it's just going to continue to make them below average, right?
See, well, I saw that headline, and I think it's going to be right in the middle of what Brandon said. So the analytics work in a sport like the NHL. Major League Baseball, basketball, these sports where you have more than 60 games a year. Here, you have 16 games in a 17-week season where injuries are a big, big factor after week 4. I don't know if analytics really help you in football that much.
He's going to be the new chief strategy officer Who's the chief strategy officer of Seattle, Brandon? How about for the Broncos, Jared? Does anybody else have a chief strategy officer?
John Elway.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, that's what you have head coaches and GMs and executives for.
I've never heard of this. I understand why they're trying to go in a new direction, but I don't know.
This is a disaster. This is another bad decision by that ownership group. Jimmy Haslin has no clue what he's doing.
I wouldn't want to coach in Cleveland.
That's a bad situation. That's a coach killer. How many coaches has that area killed? The only guy that I see going there is Mike Shanahan. He's wanted to get back in for so long now. And I think that's the type of place where he ends up. Because I don't know that anybody's going to take another shot at him.
Shanahan does not want to go anywhere where there is not an elite quarterback. Shanahan will take the New York Giants or bust. He expects perfection.
He interviewed out in Miami.
That's not going to work out.
They got a quarterback.
Well. Yeah. But I mean, from what Jake Plummer says, Shanahan needs an elite quarterback or he's out or it's just going to be a mess.
Well, guys, what do you say we get into some winners from this last week?
All right.
So overall in the Seahawkers podcast, in our main Pick'em League, 235 people, we have I just pick so I don't get fined on top number one along with Natha, both at 21:40 to end the regular season. So
wow.
Because we have a tie, we want to pick the team that finished the strongest, and that is I just pick so I don't get fined. So congratulations. email us at picksandipas@gmail.com. I think we got a $50 gift card to NFLshop.com for this particular user here. So, yeah.
That's awesome.
Now that we're getting to the end of the season, we're going to have some really nice prizes. We have one of our listeners works for Buck Knives and has offered to donate.
This is really cool.
Yeah, offered to donate an engraved knife to the winner, the overall winner, after the playoffs, after we tally it up all at the end. So that'll be a cool prize. And, yeah, we may have some other surprises in there, too. So... yes, as we get to the for those that stuck with us for the whole season, we got some good prizes coming at you. So we go on to our weekly winners, and for week 17, and I see that I'm on my page because I had to see if I finished ahead of Jared. In fact, we tied. The final winner of the regular season, Josh K. with 180 points.
Finished. Oh, got me by one.
Just got you by one. Yeah, a lot of people. I think we had six or seven folks with 170. But no, Josh K's 180. So email us at picksandipas.com. picksandipas@gmail.com. And we'll get you a prize. And then moving on to our Seahawkers podcast patron league, the Lost Alaskan up there at number one with 21-20 for the season. I'll have to figure out what we get the Lost Alaskan. I just shipped off a prize to him, too. This could be another one for him. I could have consolidated on the boxes going up there to Alaska. But I'll
you
find
have to
something
cross
else.
Cross countries to ship stuff to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. International lines.
Amazon Prime's a good thing. That's what I'm using.
No. Okay. Sounds nice.
And then, yes, as you mentioned on the top of the show, you and Keith of the Do Better Blues, Adam. Finished on the weekly group leaderboard. So, yes, Keith, for tying Adam back-to-back weeks, I got a little something for you.
Back-to-back-to-back weeks, yeah.
Yeah.
Right now, I currently sit seventh overall in the regular league, only 50 points out of the lead going into the playoffs. That is doable.
No, it's not. You're not going to make up that much ground.
I'm just saying.
You could. No, it's not. It could happen. Yeah, I
could
think
happen.
You might have to make some more bold picks.
You have as much chance of winning it as the Jets do making the playoffs.
That's not true because there's still a mathematical possibility of this.
I need to tally up the week that I didn't get in.
Yep.
To see where I'm at.
Yep. Okay. I know I'm still way ahead.
Just to cement the fact that I beat Brandon.
That's true.
I'm rooting for Mr. Poopotamus to beat Adam. He's only 40 points behind you, Adam.
Well, he's got some work to do.
Rooting for everybody to beat Adam.
Yeah, I figured
better
he would.
That way.
I figured he would. All right. Any other topics you guys want to talk about?
I want to thank Blake Bortles for throwing another interception so that Peyton Manning did not lead the NFL in interceptions. Blake Bortles had 18. Peyton Manning, even though he played...
sat six games?
Two-thirds of the amount of weeks that Blake Bortles did, he sat at number two in the interception stat at number 17.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Peyton Manning, Adam, because I did mention at the top of the show that he saved the Broncos. Yeah. Their playoff season, because the Broncos were in a very interesting position this last week. Win and they had the number one seed, lose and they ended up as the wild card team and the Chiefs would have won the division. That was one of the more interesting storylines of the day, right? And for that game to kind of go how it went, you know, four turnovers in the first half, right, with Brock Osweiler. And they bring
But those
Manning.
Weren't all his.
No. But
okay.
Four turnovers with him in. And then Manning comes in and ends up. I was a little bit surprised that if not for the running game, that would have been the coach would have had something to speak to after that game if the running game wasn't up to the point it was. Because I mentioned to you, Jared, that it seemed like all Manning did was come in, throw a couple passes, and hand the ball off. And they were able to win the game based on the way their defense played.
That pretty much is all that he did. And, you know, if San Diego had had a healthy secondary, he might not have completed all five of those passes. Because, I mean, he's still got the noodle arm. He's still, with the secondaries that you see that are in the playoffs right now, a guy with that type of a lack of arm strength is not going to get it done for you. And, I mean, the couple of things that go on. So, if Brock Osweiler is your future and you plan on signing him to a future contract, to take him out of a game like this where he has a chance to come back and win the division like this, to just yank him after CJ Anderson fumbles, he comes, makes a nice first down completion on the first play from scrimmage after halftime, and then CJ Anderson, 6 yards upfield on a nice run, fumbles the ball, and then they yank him? I don't understand this. So as the future of your franchise, if that's what he is, which is now all in question because you pull him at this point, that doesn't say much about how much you believe in him. On the other hand, I'm happy about this because it shut up all the allegations about Peyton Manning because they just wanted to talk about that he got playing time. So I'm very happy about that. And I'm happy that Peyton Manning came in and got a win.
Yeah, those allegations were kind of dying on their own. But the thing is I called Levante David of the Bucks, and he gave me the same exact quote. This is stupid. Look, just like
I hope there's
said,
audio of that somewhere.
I do too. I do too. Because, man, I can't imagine the idea of pulling your guy that you know is the future of your franchise and just deflating his confidence. Like, for what? I mean, it's not like you guys were getting blown out. It's not like Brock was the cause of all the turnovers. And
he's actually playing well. You know, he got hit. He missed a couple of protections, and that's why one of the turnovers happened, but.
Sure. And then, you know, you hear the analysts say, well, they ran the ball way better because Peyton Manning was able to audible to different run plays because he can diagnose the defenses better. And since, you know, he's so smart, that's why they ran the ball better. So Peyton really takes credit for the running game. No, he doesn't. Stop it. Sure,
was this running game when he was playing those first several?
That's exactly my point. Know. That's exactly my point. The Chargers aren't that great. And that's really the end all be all. I think I hope that Gary Kubiak put Peyton in so that he could go out, complete a couple balls, and then go back to the bench for the rest of the playoffs. And he can say, I had a little success at the end of my career. I rallied the team, and to a late win to get us the number one seed, and then Brock took us the rest of the way. This is just like when Brady took over for Bledsoe. Except for the fact that when Bledsoe came in for Brady in the playoffs, is because Brady got hurt a little bit and Bledsoe came in for a little while. I don't understand this. If they don't go back to Brock, I don't know what to say. I think it's a terrible decision. They'll be one and done if they start Peyton Manning. One and done.
They might be anyway.
Yeah, whatever. But I mean, another one of the reasons that, you know, Kubiak, nobody said that this might have been the reason, but Brock had been getting beat up because this offensive line is pretty bad. And he's got a pretty bad left arm injury that has kind of been plaguing him. So at some point, it's probably smart to get Peyton Manning some snaps to see if he can come in and function at a high level still, so you know what you have. But at the point in which they did it, I still don't understand that part. Yeah. And I don't know, did you guys hear Peyton Manning's comments after the game?
Yeah.
What do you think about those?
Oh, man, was he as full of himself as ever? Like that's how it felt to me. He went on and on and on about how much better everything was when he came in, and you know, blah blah blah, for on and on and on. And then he kind of flipped Brock like a little, like a tiny bone, and then back on to how great it was to be out there and lead this team to a victory and blah blah blah. I honestly, that was one of my least favorite interviews I've ever seen with Peyton Manning. That's when you come in and you'd be like, man, Brock has gotten us a long way. It was really cool just to come in and help rally the team, you know, and we'll see what happens going forward and really give the young quarterback as much credit as possible. When you know his confidence just got rattled. And instead, Manning just drunk in the spotlight, just soaked it in. I it was really kind of gross.
You expected any different, though, of a guy that's been a starting quarterback, probably going into potentially his last playoff season. You got to think that he's ultra competitive to want to have that starting job in the playoffs for the team.
Well, and, you know, Adam, I actually took it completely different than you did.
So oh, really?
One of the first things that he actually came out and said, he said, well, a lot of the things that Brock did, they weren't his fault.
That oh, was he
one
said
of the first
that.
Things that.
He said that, but it wasn't one of the first things. So he was came way out into it.
But he did come out and say, well, the offensive line did seem to block a little bit better. The running backs did seem to run a little bit harder. So he did have that an advantage, saying that it wasn't me who won the game. The team just seemed to have played a little bit better after I came in, and that's why we won the game. He gave Brock some credit. He gave the team all the credit. I didn't think he actually tooted his own horn at all.
Oh, because the way that I took it, because first he didn't give the Brock thing until like way down the line in his interview. And he's like, well, it wasn't
I actually
all.
He thought that was actually pretty early. When
it was
he said
way
that.
Down the line. I promise you. Like that was one thing that
I'm
hit
a little
me
bit more
really
on Adam's
strongly.
Side on this one. I kind of tend to agree that the Manning did seem pretty happy with himself after that game.
Well, and the thing is when you say, well, you give all the teammates the credit, but the way he said it was like, well, you know, everybody started playing a lot harder when I came in.
And that's what did it for me. That was the comment that got me. Like, really?
Yeah.
I kind of thought he was trying to give his team some credit. And the fact that he had mentioned that Brock, it wasn't his fault and that nothing bad had happened.
That's the
I think
best
that
thing
actually
he could say.
Speaks a lot. And there's a lot of quarterbacks who wouldn't have said that at all. So, I mean, you could say he's tooting his own horn. I actually thought he handled it very well. He thought he handled it as a professional. He said that basically the reason he played well was because his team played well for him. And that Brock, it wasn't his fault that he got yanked out of the game.
All right, guys. What about the idea that all three teams that were up, that were kind of in the running to relocate? The Oakland Raiders, the San Diego Chargers, and the St. Louis Rams all filed as soon as they could to move to Los Angeles. What do you guys think?
Not shocked.
I'm not shocked either, but I don't think Oakland's going anywhere.
Who do you think's going to end up there? San Diego, probably for sure, right?
San Diego, obviously. And St. Louis, because the whole town knows that they're a two-sport town, and football is just not in their hearts, man. They're hockey and baseball, and that's it. And they're a great hockey team. They're a town. They're a great baseball town. They just don't need football there. It's a third, maybe even a fourth string sport in St. Louis, and credit to them. They're awesome fans there. But football is just on the back burner, and that might be because they play in the Dome or they just don't care about football. But St. Louis has got to go from St. Louis because they're a baseball town first and foremost, hockey second.
Yeah, I guess the big debate and everything and the vote all comes down this week, so the big debate's going to be tomorrow, and I guess it's going to get a little ugly. But I think both San Diego and Oakland will end up staying. Where they're at.
Oh, really?
And I think St. Louis will move. That's what I think. Because the owner for the Rams is already, he's building a stadium whether they go or not. He's building it. Mm-hmm.
What do you think about this, Adam? Should we allow billionaires to build their own buildings wherever they want, or should we require public financing for stadiums?
Why would you require for the public to pay for it? Like,
let
I think the
billionaires do
I
it.
I think the billionaire can shell it out.
I just thought I'd rephrase that question a little bit differently than you normally hear it.
No, I liked it.
I like the way you rephrase that because that was very accurate, actually.
Yeah, to me, it seems like it makes sense. You know, it almost wouldn't it make sense for just like the Rams and the Chargers to trade ownerships and allow the team that owns the Chargers to own the Rams in St. Louis? Yeah, that just seems like a better fit to me. And then allow Kroenke, if he's so willing to move to L.A., just have him, take over the Chargers. And that way you still have one Southern California team. Now, I understand that San Diegans aren't super happy about the idea of having to travel all the way up to L.A. But, you know, as somebody who travels two states away to go to a game, I don't see why just, you know, going up the road to L.A. is that big of a deal.
So I see a lot of San Diego games. I'm obviously an AFC West fan. For the 10 fans that actually show up to the stadium to have to travel to Los Angeles, boo-hoo.
Yeah.
There are 10 of you.
Look, I don't blame the fact that fan base just this year started to not fill out the stadium because of the way they're getting stabbed in the back. But they have supported that team for years and years and years and years, and they've got a great tradition there. I don't know. I don't understand why everybody's so ready to get the Chargers out of San Diego. I think that's a good football town. I think it's a town that appreciates that team.
They're not anymore. They used to be, but they're not.
Oh, just because this year they're pissed because their owner stabbed them in the back?
This has been several years now that they've been declining in attendance, man.
I don't know that that's a true fact. I don't know that that's a true fact.
They're not a good football
team. I'll have to look up the attendance numbers. I'm not sure that's a true fact.
Sure.
I think those fans are kind of fed up with the situation, though. I mean, you hear, you listen to some of the fans on the national radio that are fans of the Chargers, and they're fed up with it, and they don't have the passion to really rally around and try and keep the team there at this point.
And that's probably one of the 10 fans that showed up to the stadium.
You hate the Chargers so much.
Well, it's not that. I just wish that there were a game where you could go play an away game and it actually felt like an away game. That's part of the NFL. And in San Diego, it hasn't felt like playing an away game for years now. It just hasn't, because they haven't been all that competitive for how long. They just
we played there on the road last year. The stands were full. I mean,
there were a lot of Seahawks fans there.
A lot of Seahawks fans. That's my point. It's like they're not filling the stands with Chargers fans. They haven't.
Gotcha.
It's just obvious. I mean,
gotcha. So basically, Jared, you want to quote Ron Burgundy and say, "Go catfish yourself, San Diego."
Not really. Just move to a better football town. So it's
Is LA a better
game.
Football town, though? I don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot more football fans there. Look at how USC has had success, man. There's a lot of football fans there. Yeah. They've been trying to get a team since Al Davis moved them up to Oakland. There's never been a problem.
I still don't hear the passion. For a town to go 20 years without a football team, it seems an awful lot like they could really go either way. Again, it's a place where there's a lot of transplants, just like San Diego. So I just don't see them. I feel like, you know how we talked about earlier that maybe we need to have, instead of, the London games are cool, but maybe we need to have London games in L.A. and just have, you know, four or six games just in L.A. So all the people there can go to a game and fill up the stadium a few times a year and watch NFL football just like they do in London. That seems like the right answer for me for L.A.
I think the London game should have gone to Mexico City.
I think we could do both.
In preseason, sell out in a heartbeat. You know, we don't go to Canada because they have their own Canadian league, and they are stubborn and very prideful people. They don't want the NFL, and I applaud them for it. But we should have gone to Mexico City long before we went to, you know, across.
I think we should do both. The London games have been successful. I'm a fan, and
I don't want to do both. That takes even more home games.
Oh, boohoo! Hey, boohoo!
So you want your team to go to London?
I don't mind.
What about the fans
not
that
every
go to the
year.
Games every
You don't
year?
Have to go every year. It rotates.
What about the fans that actually go to the stadium week in and week out? Do you think they want to see your team go
I'm
to
sorry
London?
That for
Probably
the good
not.
Of the game, I'm sorry for the good of the game, you missed one game.
The good of the game or the financial promise?
It's for the
game.
Good of the game when you
How
spread
so?
When you spread the game worldwide, that is better for the game.
Sure.
It is. Look at NBA basketball. Look at NBA basketball. Has the quality of NBA basketball become better after they started spreading the game to Europe and to Asia?
Because
and you get all these
more
other
of
talents.
An international sport.
Because they made the effort to make it that. Same
sure.
thing with football. Just so if we can get more talent,
you like
from
it,
other
countries. That's all there is to
whatever,
it.
Whatever, fine. But I think the one thing about LA that's interesting, and the thing about the LA move that's hilarious to me, is two of the three teams that are wanting to go to LA are two of the three teams that freaking left LA, the Raiders and the Rams.
Right.
And they're trying to get back, so that says something.
I guess.
I mean, if you want to improve the financial aspect of the NFL, which is why you go to London, you go to L.A., which is the biggest market there is.
I'm not opposed to an L.A. team.
That's why you do it.
I'm not opposed
to. You send three teams there if you have to.
I'm not opposed to having a team in L.A. at all. It's the second biggest market. But my point, you keep saying that I'm saying it's about the money. It's not about the money. It's about growing the fan base and growing the game overseas. Two very different
which
things.
Which increases the money. Your fan base increases money in football.
So that's a nice side benefit.
They go to stadiums. How does that not increase financially?
I didn't say it doesn't do it. No,
they're different things.
I said that's not what I'm saying.
It's kind of the same thing.
It's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
You guys are totally what I said is that I said I didn't say they were doing it for the financials. They were doing it to spread the game.
The only reason the NFL does anything is for the money.
Well, it kind of is.
Not be true.
It's absolutely the truth.
I don't know. It's good for the game.
Why does anybody do anything for the money?
That's not true.
I know. It's kind of true, though.
Three Montana guys sitting around. We all live in Montana. Yeah. We're not doing that for the money.
No, that's a really good point.
We're not doing that for the money.
Which is why I have this like subtle hatred for the NFL, because they do everything for money.
Yeah.
But I still watch every week.
Yeah. Because I kind of love
it. So how much do I really hate them?
Just a tiny bit.
Just go to L.A., stop going to London, and I will be happy personally.
Do
or
it
just,
all.
Or keep sending the Jags there, because I don't care.
Hey, Shad Khan's all for it. He likes it.
You know, I think we can all agree that one good thing came out of this regular season, though, and that's the Dallas Cowboys got what was coming to them for picking up Greg Hardy.
This is a really good point.
That's true. The football god smacked them down.
Yes.
Couldn't be happier about that.
Did they get rid of him?
I don't know. He was just on a one-year contract. That'll be interesting to see what they do with him.
Yeah.
Okay, so really quick, who do you guys think was the most disappointing team this season?
Give me a couple seconds here. Brandon, I don't know if you have one off the top of your head.
Most disappointing team.
Because I think there's kind of like, there's like three or four. Disappointing.
I don't know. I don't know that anything was way outside of my expectation.
I mean, you got the Cowboys. They were pretty disappointing for what was expected from them after last year. You have the Eagles, who had high hopes with Chip Kelly.
That's exactly what I thought would happen after what they did.
I think the Giants were a disappointment.
No, that's exactly who I thought they
to
were.
But they were supposed to win an easy
division. I'd have
division.
To say
that
Buffalo. You know, Buffalo with Rex Ryan as the hire and coming in and say, hey, we're going to the playoffs. And for them, with the defense that they had, that should have been a playoff team. And with Tyrod Taylor being the sufficient quarterback and the weapons they had on offense, that should have been a team that was in the that should be playing this week, and they're not.
Detroit's in that mix to me.
Oh, they were
a playoff team from the year before. I didn't expect them to be that bad.
No.
I didn't think they were going to be good. But, I mean, Buffalo, their quarterback situation was kind of in question before the season happened, so they found their quarterback. For them to not make the playoffs, I didn't know how much I really expected from them. For me, I didn't expect the Giants to be good, but they were the biggest disappointment because they were supposed to win that crappy, crappy division.
I think Dallas was supposed to win that crappy, crappy division.
I thought the Eagles were supposed to win that crappy division.
Okay, so the biggest disappointment of a division is the NFC East.
Oh, without question. Yeah.
The team that was supposed to finish last finished first.
Well, and I think maybe that's a little bit of the media bias towards the East Coast teams, the idea that everybody had built all these teams up so much because they get so much more coverage because they're out on the East Coast. That's part of it.
Maybe.
Okay, what about the biggest surprise real quick then? Since we did disappointment, what about the biggest surprise?
Washington.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's for me too. They were them.
Yep.
Easy enough.
Well, there we go.
Cool. That was a good topic, though. I mean, it just happened to be one that that was easy to kind of go with.
And London sucks.
Wow.
I hate those games. Gotta hate those games.
All our UK listeners fervently disagree.
I love waking up at 7 o'clock in the morning and having football on right away. That's cool to me.
Why do you do that to yourself?
Hey.
7 a.m.? Why? Why?
Well, they're always bad games.
I don't wake up at 7 a.m. I wake up at, well, actually, my kids wake me up at 7 a.m.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. All right, guys, what do you say we get out of here for the night?
Let's do it.
All right, two things. Two things to say. One's hooray football.
Hooray football.
Hooray football.
And hooray beer.
Rock on.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks.